Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It is Friday, November 29th. You got your turkey hangover going on, your pants don't fit. Hopefully all those shitty relatives have left your house.
Hopefully everybody had a lovely Thanksgiving.
Yes,
drama-free yes. And filled with all your favorite
pie.
Sides. I'm a sides girl.
Sides queen?
I'm a sides queen.
Hell yeah. That's what we should, next year, for next Thanksgiving, we're going to make sweatshirts that say sides queen.
Nice, yes. I mean, I'll eat turkey, but I'm there for the dressing, the deviled eggs, the pea salad, the mashed potatoes.
That's what I want for my leftovers plate, too. That's like the best part of the weekend after Thanksgiving is going in and going, what leftovers do I have left? Oh, yeah, I'm about to heat that up. So, well, we hope you got all your favorite dressing, gravy, pea salad,
all
taken
of it
home with you and are ready for a lineup of odd but true tales we've got today that run the gamut, as always.
You've
curated a lineup. Thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sending in your stories. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first story is from Nay, and it is called Shots Fired at a Hamilton Performance. And this is the story of a near miss with a mass shooting event, so trigger warning for mass shooting and mass panic. Dear Sinisterhood, I found y'all through Two Girls, One Ghost and have been binging your podcast ever since. You've kept me company during a couple long nights during a family emergency, and when I was sick and couldn't sleep. You are all entertaining, and I love your mission of sharing stories that could help others. Thanks for all you do. My story begins back in July of 2019, the last blissfully lovely summer before COVID. I was home for the summer between the 2 years of my master's program, and my boyfriend at the time was visiting. My whole family, mom, dad, younger brother, my boyfriend, and I went to visit my grandparents just outside of Manhattan. We were lucky enough to get Hamilton tickets ahead of time for this trip, and we're all very excited for the performance. The theater was about a half block from Times Square. Due to the popularity of the tickets, we had to split our group into two parties. My boyfriend and I sat with my grandparents in the middle section of the first balcony, with people between us and the aisles. This is relevant later. My parents and brother were in the next section over to our right, close to the rightmost entrance to the balcony, near the end of a row. We were having an amazing time at the performance. If you haven't seen Hamilton, I highly recommend. They even have a version on Disney Plus now if you can't afford tickets or aren't close to New York City. In my opinion, it is hands down the best musical of our time. But I digress. Slight spoiler alert in the next sentence. We were getting near the end of the show. Hamilton had just been shot and Eliza was saying goodbye to him, when there was a commotion at the balcony entrance opposite to where my parents and brother were sitting. At first, it sounded to me like someone was upset with one of the ushers who was trying to calm them down. However, the commotion got louder, and a ripple of alarmed murmurs washed through the crowd. I will never forget what happened next. The murmurs turned into alarmed screams about someone with a gun, and people began stampeding for the exits. An announcement went through the theater telling the actors to evacuate the stage. Adrenaline pumped through me, making everything unusually clear and surreal feeling, and this weird sense of calm came over me. I remember looking at my 85 and 88-year-old grandparents and the people on either side of us and realizing there was no way we were going anywhere fast. So instead, my boyfriend and I crouched down between the rows of seats and covered our heads with our arms. My grandparents bent over as much as they could and did the same. All I could think while I was crouched there was, is this really happening? This can't be happening, right? Could this really be how my life ends? I couldn't tell you how long we crouched there. It may have been 30 seconds, it may have been 10 minutes. Time was moving rather strangely. But the sound of shots we had all braced for never came. Slowly, the people in the theater calmed, the stampede ended, and we cautiously sat up and looked around. About half the theater had emptied out. Everyone who was left were nervously looking around and asking each other what they knew about what had happened. I looked to where my parents and brother had been sitting, but they weren't there. I pulled out my phone and tried to call them, but their phones were still on Do Not Disturb for the show, so it went straight to voicemail. I texted my brother. He was the most likely to be checking his phone, and asked if they were okay. He confirmed that they were and that they had run out of the theater with the initial stampede and were now a block away, wandering around on the sidewalk. A couple minutes later, an announcer came on and told everyone to remain calm, that there was no threat in the theater and there had never been anyone with a firearm. They weren't sure what had caused the commotion, but security was investigating it, and they needed folks to stay calm and stay put. Slowly, people began trickling back into the theater now that the threat had passed. Everyone was profoundly shaken. I remember watching one of the musicians climb out of the pit to tearfully hug a friend or family member sitting in the front row. After about 20 minutes of confusion, one of the stagehands walked on stage with a microphone. She told us that a motorcycle had backfired in Times Square. Several people who had heard it thought it was gunshots, and it began a panic. Some of these panicked folks ran into the theater for shelter and were hysterically telling the ushers that there was a mass shooting happening in Times Square and yelling at them to lock the doors. Of course, people who could only hear half the conversation jumped to conclusions and thought there was a shooter in the theater, which started the mass panic and the stampede. To everyone's surprise, they decided to finish the performance. I have never heard a louder round of applause than when the actors came back on stage and took their places. The performance finished and we began leaving the theater. I was still in my weird calm that had overtaken me during the panic. But when I saw my parents and brother, all of that fear of what could have been hit me at once and I broke down in tears. I was not the only one. There were many tearful embraces happening in the lobby of the theater and hallway. My mom is a strong proponent of ice cream solves every problem, so we went straight to a Ben & Jerry's a few blocks away to calm our nerves. To this day, when I hear the part of the Hamilton soundtrack where Aaron Byrne is narrating while Eliza says goodbye to Hamilton, I get nervous. So that is my story of a near-miss mass shooting event that I was 100% convinced was real at the time. I know this is nothing compared to those who have actually experienced mass shooting, but this experience will stick with me forever and was probably the scariest experience of my life. Hope you found this interesting. Best, Nailani, or Nay for short.
Well, the experience of being in it when you don't know if it's real or not, you're physiologically 100% it's real to you.
Yeah.
Man.
Worst, one of my worst nightmares, mm-hmm. especially, I mean, it's, I feel like everyone in that moment's like, is this really what's mm-hmm. it's happened? It's finally happened to me because it's mm-hmm. so common in America, especially in a place like Times Square, where, I mean, the amount of people there is just unreal. So we have that panic of you hear a motorcycle, which can often sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the times we live in, it's not crazy to jump to the conclusion of that was a gunshot. We need to find shelter. And panic breaks out. But like they say, you should never shout fire in a crowded theater. Don't also, shouting that someone has a gun is going to have the same, probably worse reaction.
Yeah, especially I was thinking being on a balcony. I'm glad everybody calmly hit the exits and it wasn't, you know, a stampede doesn't cause anybody to get pushed over the edge or whatever. Yeah. But you really think.
Or trampled.
Or trampled. Exactly. As I say, when you're at a place and you're, you know, thankfully able-bodied, you know, would be able to jump out and run if you needed to, you really look to somebody who's in their 80s and go, oh, we have very different realities when it comes to responding to a threat like this. And I think it's, you know, a testament to you, Nate, that you and your boyfriend are like, well, we're not going to leave Nana and Papa like behind. But the, you know, it's, we all forget, you know, in general, a mass shooting, you may go run for the exits. Some people cannot do that or cannot do it easily or safely. And that's often another, you know, a different type of victim in a scenario where it's not even an actual, thank God, mass shooting here. But also, God, if you hear a backfired engine, go get shelter for yourself, certainly. But I think probably screaming, there's a shooter in a crowded theater without more evidence is not the way to go there.
No, and I mean, clearly it caused mass hysteria. I've often wondered what would happen in a situation like this with the performance going on. And I did not know that they make an announcement for the actors to leave the stage. But you think, imagine those actors backstage also having no idea what's going on. And then they have to come out and finish their performance, which already was at a peak emotional point.
Professionals, dude. That's professionals.
Oh, right. And it is. I agree. It's one of the best plays of our time. And I saw it when it came to Dallas. I was never able to see the original cast. Man, if they ever
came
back.
If I saw Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hamilton, my soul would leave my body. I would be abducted to the next realm. But I too saw it on the touring cast was phenomenal, though.
Yeah.
Like every actor is so good and the music's so good. And something like that where you have to then get yourself, because like as Nay said, like, you know, you're all shaking, you're reacting either in fight, flight, freeze, whatever response mode. And it's like, all right, get back out there. Leslie, it's time for your solo. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm doing this, but that's the show. Literally, the show must go on.
Yeah.
That's, man, bless those actors and y'all.
Truly. And it's a good reminder, too, of in these situations, like you said, not everyone can react the way a younger, able-bodied person can. And to look and be like, I'm either going to have to carry my Nana or, you know, I mean, like, it's just you're not going to get out of there fast enough. It adds a whole other layer of terror that until you're in that moment, I don't think you can even really grasp. And it is real in that moment to you. You have no idea that it's going to be okay. So glad it was. But what we're experiencing, our perception's reality at the moment. Your body is reacting as if a mass shooting event is taking place at that moment.
Yeah, and that's why whenever I'm sure when Nay listens to the Hamilton record, that part, you're like, like you're, because it is that that memory response or whatever. Definitely something to don't let the backfired car engine steal Hamilton from
you.
Take it back. Take it back. Because, you know, I mean, it just a positive note of it is like when the shit hit the fan, you know, you were there for your grandma and grandpa and like, you know, the family stuck together. Y'all found each other and everything on the way out. So that shit's scary though, when your phone's off and you can't get a hold and you don't know where mom and dad are and things like that.
Or at places where they take your phone.
Yeah.
I've been to shows where your phone is locked. So which is a whole other thing. But I react the very same way, in most stressful, high intense situations. I also get oddly calm. And then once it leaves my body, because that adrenaline, when it dumps into your stomach, man, it's, that is a like unique pinpoint stomach ache. Yeah. That,
yeah, vision.
If you've had it, you've had it, but you feel sick afterwards. But at the time, you're like, you're just, everything becomes like, what is it? Your pupils dilate, the blood rushes to your limbs to prepare you to fight. You become more like aware and focused.
I think that means, Nay, I mean, based on our fear episode, your response was the fight response, which is dilated, or not dilated, but like narrowing of the eyes so you can see better. And then like, you were, so now we know. You can't know until you're in that situation.
True. You can't.
So very eerie. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, this next one is from Jay, and it is called Why We Don't Believe in That Culty Shit. Hi, y'all. Greetings from your neighbors up north. Thank you for all you do, and sorry about the state of your country, although we may not be too far behind y'all. My story starts in the year 2010. Vancouver was hosting the Winter Olympics. TikTok was just a song by Kesha, and the country felt alive. I, however, was in the middle of nowhere, India, with my family on a long overdue, let's go to the motherland, our kids are too westernized trip. We are part of the Sikh religion. Typically, Sikhs have a great reputation for being selfless and doing a lot of charity work. If anyone listening is in need of a meal, locate your local Sikh temple. Every Sunday, they operate a free vegetarian kitchen and distribute food to all people regardless of race, religion, or gender. Anyway, like every religion, there are extremist and cult-like behavior exhibited by some. My mom's family are very by-the-book Sikhs and believe in one true God. But some of my dad's family does things a little differently. They also believe in worshiping some preachers, for lack of a better translation. Back to the trip. We had already been there for a couple months, and the only thing keeping me sane and connected to Canada was my older brother's hand-me-down MP3 player, loaded with all the top hits I downloaded off LimeWire before coming here. This particular day, my dad's family decided to take us to a religious gathering on the outskirts of a nearby village. My cousins told me it would be kind of like a fair with a lot of people, and they all found it really fun. We loaded up the car, and I, MP3 in hand, Jonas Brothers on repeat, was ready to go. Once we arrived, we saw how massive this gathering really was. There were multiple large white tents spanning across acres of a field, and people bustling about everywhere. There was a main entrance tent, which had a setup like a shoddy airport, with metal detectors and volunteers as security. We lined up to go inside, my dad in front of me and my mom behind me. My dad went through the metal detector and moved further into the tent to wait for us. I went through next and heard some beeping. I looked at the security and they asked if I had anything, and I showed them my MP3. This was my downfall. The security looked panicked and whisked me away from the line and said they needed me to go into a different area. It all happened so quickly, the last thing I did was look back at my mom, who looked horrified. I was taken into an interrogation room, and they asked me multiple questions about the MP3 player. What is this? Is this a recording device? Are you planting something? Who sent you? Where are you from? I told them I was just visiting here with my family and that we weren't even from the area. The interrogation felt like it lasted hours, and I had a sinking feeling in my stomach. They had three different people interrogate me and treated me like I was some sort of terrorist. My family in Canada had warned us not to even trust the police in India, and if we were ever alone, to try to locate a phone and call home immediately while remaining conspicuous for fear of being taken. My parents had drilled into me to never tell anyone I was Canadian and never, ever go anywhere alone. I was scared. They finally believed that it was just an MP3, and I was just an innocent girl, and let me go. Except they didn't take me back to the entrance. They led me into the massive field where the gathering was taking place, and did not reunite me with my family. When I asked where my mom was, they just shrugged and walked away. I scanned the crowd of people to see if I could recognize anyone, but I didn't. I wasn't even in a familiar part of the field, and there were other big tents around. I was completely alone. The volunteers announced the guest of honor was arriving and quite literally shoved people into one of the main tents for his arrival. Anytime I asked for help or got up, they would shush me, force me to sit on the ground, and tell me to bow. I did not bow, no fucking way. I was terrified as I evaluated my circumstances. I was alone in a foreign country, away from my village, and the real kicker, I was only 11 years old. I sat on the ground defeated and with tears streaming down my face. A lady beside me, corralling three children, asked me if I was okay, and I told her I lost my mom and didn't know where I was. She gave me some money and told me to call my parents on a nearby payphone. I told her I didn't know any Indian phone numbers. I only knew the Canadian numbers. She went white as it dawned on her that I wasn't just a lost girl. I was a lost foreign girl. She gave me more money and told me to try the long-distance number and asked me for my uncle's names and villages. At this time, the guest of honor arrived and everyone was losing their mind. Y'all, this man did a couple rounds standing in a Jeep, waving at us, and then drove off out of the tent. It made me so angry. The nice lady flagged down a volunteer and in much better Punjabi/Hindi than me, told her off and said she needed to help me find my mom. The volunteer, visibly annoyed that I was taking time away from her experience, reluctantly took me out of the tent to show me where the payphone was. I walked into the sunlight and instinctively looked to my right, and through the crowd of people, I saw my mom standing by a telephone pole, scanning the crowd with tears streaming down her face. She looked like an angel to me at that moment, and I ran to her with relief washing over me. Y'all, this reunion was like something out of a movie. She held me tight and we both cried. My mom later told me that when they took me away, they told her to wait in a certain spot and they would bring me back to her there. When they didn't, she and my dad panicked and started searching the grounds, berating the staff, and calling my other family members to come help. She said it was her worst nightmare. When we arrived back in Canada and told my grandparents about the story, my papa said, "That's why we don't believe in that culty shit." Thanks for taking the time to read this story. This experience really scarred me for life, but not as bad as law school's OCIs, on-campus interviews. If you know, you know. You both are an inspiration to me as I finish my last year of law school. I'm not sure what I want to do or how I want to practice, but I know that I would like to make a difference, like the both of you. Lots of love, Jay.
Oh, Jay, well, your reunion sounds like a movie because the rest of it sounds like a movie, too. Dude. To get just, like, separated and interrogated when you're 11?
No, especially in a place where you've been told this is a dangerous area for someone like you, so don't get separated. This is also my worst nightmare. Like, that's – I told you, the other night we were going to watch that movie – where they're at some concert, the dad and the daughter, and I was like, I can't, because it's like, even though
you're like,
I don't think it's even supposed to be that good of a movie, but it's just like a trigger for me, like crowds where I'm separated from the kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. I have nightmares about that stuff all the time. So to have them take you away and then you're just waiting there like, is she kidnapped? Is this our worst nightmare? Fuck them for just letting you back out of the tent and not helping you.
Just going loose. I think that's the problem with just like a big ass event with a bunch of volunteers is that you're not like, it's not like you're at a nice restaurant. You can ask for the manager. It's like a large gathering. That's not, the purpose is not service. It's just getting people in the door so they can watch a man wave from his Jeep, which sounds like the Pope to me. I mean, he just waves from his car too. Like that's kind of
his little part of the Pope mobile.
That's the Jeep, the Pope mobile, but with no top on it. But yeah, I think the parents getting separated like that has got to feel like, what have I done? This is like, like you said, my worst nightmare coming true. So I'm glad you were fairly, I won't say very quickly reunited, because being interrogated by any number of people, much less multiple people, taken from another location, all for having an MP3 player, which whomst amongst us did not fill those bitches full of illegal MP3s back in the day.
Oh, man. It's concerning that they had that type of reaction, because it kind of shows you how on high alert they are of someone recording what they're doing, or, you know, who sent you? Like, what, who are you worried about? But
like, I don't know. 11.
Laws there are different, because I think here you can't pull an 11-year-old off to the side and interrogate them without saying, hey, mom or dad, you got to come with us.
Yeah, I don't know. These folks sound even like cops. They just sound like they're whatever this group was, which does make you concerned. Any like a large religious group going, we don't want you to record what we do here. And you're like, but why? And they're like, why are you asking questions? But I feel you, Jay.
What is that? The Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, Joe Bro.
How many of them are there? Which one of them sent you? Was it Joe?
It was Nick, wasn't it? I know it. Well, I'm glad you got reunited with your family. And yeah, OCIs are fucking heinous. They're the worst. One of them, I think I told y'all this story, that a guy just straight up started eating a brownie during us. And I was like, I'm not getting this job, am I?
Like, While you were interviewing, he started eating a brownie?
Yes, I was the candidate. He was the partner and did not want to be there, did not want to be doing interviews. As I was talking about my history, it was like with the wrapper, like open the wrapper, and there was like, What do you think you want to do with that? And I'm just like, disgusting. Jesus. And I just was like, I don't. And at the time, I thought, I don't want to work here either.
No. Anyone that would eat during an interview.
Gross.
You don't want to work for them.
Nah, he's gross. But things like that, it's you have to understand, it's just as much you interviewing them as them interviewing you. Because if they would have been like, so anyway, you want to work with us? It's unlimited brownies. I'd be like, no, thank you. This is fine. But I
don't know. I'd have to be like, unlimited? How big are these brownies?
But if they're unlimited, that means he gets to eat as many as he wants, and you have to watch him in his teeth. And I was over watching
that.
Couldn't do that anymore. So bless you, Jay. Whatever you do, you are gonna make a difference, because
you're
a caring person, and every position you are in, you can always find a way to make a difference. Even if you're working for the man, you can always do pro bono and stuff and find ways to volunteer. So Godspeed. You got this.
Absolutely. And thank you for the kind words about us. Definitely. That really means a lot to us as well.
Absolutely. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, your daughter has written in.
Hello,
and
sweetheart.
What a tale she has. I don't know if you know about this one, if she came home and told you, but it is called The Paper Shredder Pervert.
She says it best.
Hi, Christy, Heather, and all children, husbands, and animals. You guys have gotten me through so many difficult times in the last few years. Sinisterhood has been a huge source of comfort for me, and I love the community you've built. Please allow me to thank you for your kindness by telling you this absolutely unhinged story from my time working retail. During my early 20s, I worked at a candle shop for many years. For the purposes of anonymity, I won't name drop the company, but yes, it's probably the candle store you're thinking of. As much as I bitched about working in retail, I really did love that job and the amazing crew I had there. I miss it terribly now, especially since the store I spent so much of my life in is now closed. I'd already been working for the company for several years when one busy afternoon, shortly before Christmas, the store landline rang. I stepped away from the floor and answered with the standard corporate greeting. Thank you for calling Candle Store. This is Anon. How can I help you? The voice on the other end was clearly a male trying to disguise his voice, almost like he was trying to sound like a child. Hello, Anon. Is this Candle Store? Yes. How can I help you? Do you have any coupons out right now? It was a pretty standard question, but unsettling in that childlike, lilting voice. I already knew this shit was weird, but hey, people are weird. We had quarterly mystery shoppers, and part of their assessment was to call and ask us a question to judge our phone etiquette. Maybe this guy was a mystery shopper and didn't want us to recognize his voice when he eventually came in to buy. Maybe he thought it would be a funny gag. I committed to the bit and informed him of the coupons and promotions we had, prepared to quickly end the call and return to the busy sales floor.
"So, what do you do with the coupons after they're used?"
the caller asked. "We collect them. Unfortunately, they can't be reused," I replied. He insisted,
"But what do you do with them?"
"We throw them away."
"What do you do with them before you throw them away?"
At this point, I was pretty annoyed because I had customers and this guy wouldn't let me off the phone. "Sir, I'm not sure what you're asking," interrupting me, he asked.
"Do you rip them up?"
"Sometimes, yeah," I hesitantly replied. I regret to inform you that at this point, he started breathing heavily and excitedly asked me,
"Can you rip the paper for me now? Can I hear it?"
What the fuck? My people-pleasing, corporate retail, 20-something brain had already let this call go on long enough. And at that point, I just hung up on him. We didn't have caller ID, so I wrote it off as a weird, kind of pervy prank call. I told a few coworkers later, and we had a good laugh about it. Fast forward a couple months to February or so. I came in for a closing shift, and the opening manager immediately greeted me with, "I got the weirdest phone call today." She proceeded to relay to me almost exactly the same phone call I'd gotten back in December. He called, addressed her by name, asked if it was Candle Store, and asked her a series of questions that culminated in him requesting she rip up coupons for him to hear. So, we had a repeat offender on our hands, with a fetish for ripping up paper, specifically candle coupons. This guy was taking the slogan, "a passion for fragrance," to a whole new level. Fast forward another few months to Mother's Day. The sales rush was over, and I let my sales associate go home early, leaving me alone in the store for the last hour or so before closing. She grabbed her bag and walked out the door. No sooner had it closed behind her than the phone rang. "Thank you for calling Candle Store. This is Anon. How can I help you?"
"Hello, Anon. Is this Candle Store?"
Exact same voice, exact same greeting. Moments after I'd been left alone in the store. I hustled to the front window and scanned the parking lot of the strip mall. Maybe I was just being paranoid, but it seemed like too much of a coincidence that he placed this call the literal second my coworker left and there were no customers. Either way, it was a fruitless endeavor, and I don't know what I was hoping to see. The lot was full of cars and people milling about, none of whom looked like they were on the phone trying to terrorize a lone young woman in a candle shop. But still, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. Not knowing what else to do, I hung up the phone, thinking it was best just not to engage. Unfortunately, he wouldn't give me the option. It rang again a few seconds later. No caller ID, remember? I hit the red button and denied the call. Maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was the district manager, maybe it was an actual customer. Maybe it was God himself. I wasn't answering it. Eventually, he gave up. But this wouldn't be the last time we'd hear from the man we dubbed the Paper Shredder Pervert. This went on for a weirdly long time. At first, a few months would pass between calls, but they soon became more frequent. Once we made it clear we weren't here for a shit, he started targeting other locations near us. I think it took a long time for anyone to run it up the flagpole to corporate management. Because, after all, what could anyone do about it? No caller ID, no way to block the number, and he wasn't, quote, technically doing anything wrong by being a customer calling to ask about our coupon policies. Once the district and regional managers got wind of it, they sent out an email blast to everyone with instructions to hang up on him and immediately alert the district manager via email with the date and time of the call. I'm guessing they were trying to keep a log in order to build a case for phone harassment, but I doubt it would have been a priority for law enforcement even if they were able to do so. Eventually, the calls died down, and then everything shut down for COVID. My store was closed for several months, but when we reopened, Guess who our first caller was? I stopped working there shortly after. My store eventually closed down for good. I'm close friends with someone who still works at a neighboring location, and several months ago, she told me he'd called again at her store. As far as perverted phone calls go, this one was pretty silly. I know from other Freaky Friday stories and podcasts that it could definitely have been worse, but it always kind of spooked me. Who was the paper shredder pervert? A disgruntled former employee, maybe? How else would he have been certain there was no caller ID? Or maybe a dissatisfied customer, or even one of our regulars. There were many instances where male customers would be in the store, and I'd find myself thinking that he could be any one of them. Could he really have been watching me that Mother's Day afternoon? Anyway, thanks for reading, and thanks for all you do. Keep it creepy. Toodles.
Well, my child, I'm glad it was not more offensive, but stories like this are so fascinating to me because I'm like, what's your end game and why that candle place and why specifically candle coupons and you want to hear them rip it? I've got so many questions that will never be answered.
Yeah, the candle store, when she said the one you're thinking of, my first thought was Yankee Candles.
Yeah.
Maybe Sample House, but okay. People go crazy for those Yankee candles, but
I don't know. He's about to Yankee on his candle while she's ripping that paper.
Yeah. This, just like the McDonald's phone call guy, I think that people that do this like to scare people, especially women, and have like a weird sense of control. And, you know, you're freaking them out. Maybe if they knew that you didn't have caller ID, and also when someone left your store, because that doesn't seem like a coincidence. Mm-hmm. My thought was a person working in another store nearby.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say, or someone who has security camera access, but no, yeah. That's a good point. If they had reason to be in the area anyway.
Mm-hmm. And they've probably been into your store and mm-hmm. know how shit works.
Or just if they work in retail, they know it's like you don't have like the fanciest phone systems yeah. behind the counter.
Or maybe it's someone like you do know, you know, like, I don't know. Stuff like this is so weird. And then when you find out like who it is, it's even more of a mind fuck. What was that mm-hmm. documentary that I recently watched? Well, I don't want to give it away because I'll spoil it if I say what happened. But long story short, someone was being called by someone for a very long time. And in the end, it was a family member. And you're like,
oh,
what
yeah.
the fuck?
What, yeah. Those are always eerie when it's somebody. What we had on Freaky Friday was someone was getting those weird texts and it ended up being like a cousin something.
Yeah.
And it's like, thought this was a strange rando off the street. To me, I think it's somebody that has a connection to the candle company at large, given that they now have begun to call another location yeah. subsequent to this location closing. You're right. It does sound like there's some sort of a connection of why, because I imagine if this was every store is getting these calls in a strip mall, you're kind of like, going from the Yankee mm-hmm. Candle, you go next door to like the Soma Intimates and are like, do you guys get like phone calls
Soma
about
Intimates?
I don't know. Just trying to think of like what else is in a strip
mall.
You're
not wrong though.
Like an Ulta though or something, uh-huh. you know, stuff that, and you're like, hey, do you guys get weird? Like the coupon jacker mm-hmm. offer guy? And they're like, oh my God. Or like, please leave this store, man. Right? Like, go back to your candle store. So that tells me, I don't know, perhaps I'm glad that the district and regional managers were like, yeah, tell us when it happened and weren't yeah. just like, listen, people call. It is what it is. They were like, no, tell us who it was. But you're right. I think if you call the police, they're like, okay.
Like, but that sucks because this yeah. is a form of harassment.
It
and
is. It's stalking, really.
Stalking. Yeah. And it's scary, especially if you're working there by yourself at night and you're a mm-hmm. woman and this man's calling, obviously in a sexual way. That's mm-hmm. that's very scary. I think that's a real good reason to get caller ID, unless it didn't yeah. exist at the time. Maybe it wasn't a thing. Remember when there were just the boxes?
Yeah, just a little box, and you would hope it came up the name, like, right, or whatever, mm-hmm. but sometimes it would say just, like, unknown, and then you're like, yeah, because people could block it. But yeah, I mean, while I think that probably first blush law enforcement might shake this off, I mean, I think you're right, and I think calling it stalking is not overreacting, given that it is a persistent pattern, repeated actions that are designed to make people feel uncomfortable because yeah. the first time being like, no, fuck you. Like the fact that they are persistent in doing it despite the fact that they know the recipient doesn't like it. I mean, I think that depending on the jurisdiction, you know, kind of fits probably not what the legislators were thinking when they're writing it. But I think harassment of people can come in all different forms. And you're right. People like this, the Washington phone call scam guy, person that was calling the young people, the teenagers, and sending messages with their phones and stuff. I think you're right that it's somebody reasonably close that can watch the havoc play out. Because I think you're right. Yeah. It has to do with that. Like, I want to be the inciting, and then I want to watch the freak out, even if the fear. Just them getting upset. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. Because otherwise, if they're not ripping it up, then you're kind of, you know, you're not getting your rocks off as much. But like with the one where they were texting the family and stuff, there was speculation it was like a neighbor. So I think there's something there that it was probably someone close by proximity wise, but also maybe that came into the store quite a bit, or at least knew how things were run around there.
Yeah, you're, I mean, Anon is right, though. Some people go ape shit crazy for these candles, though. That lady who has the rant about her,
I think
it's the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Body Works,
the Bath & Body Works rant.
Oh, that's a classic. That is a classic. Oh, I can't remember the
scent.
What if
she just, like, says it, and she's like, they told me that they would have so much.
That's what she drove, like, 45 minutes with her mom. It's
all over Wisconsin,
thing.
Right?
Go look at, just... in TikTok,
I think,
search Bath and Body Works candle lady rant, and something will come up, I'm sure.
It's so that I don't know why. It's not even the candle lady getting mad. It's when somebody is reenacting it makes me laugh. Because like people have like completely memorized it so well and are like down to the intonation. And when she's got her Green Bay Packers shirt on, I forgot her. Man, she's so mad. Well,
she's so mad. And it's like she's retelling it that happened days ago, and she's still that angry. But
Jen from Appleton, that's her name.
That from Appleton, yes, because she keeps saying that. Like, oh man, it's a good one. Go watch
her
it. You want a good laugh.
She was so upset. Well, I don't know if I'd rather have Jen from Appleton or this fella coming at me about a candle. But
they're
like
both terrible
way.
To deal with. Jen from Appleton was in the store, and you got to deal with that face to face. At least paper pervert, you can hang up. But also, I'm like, is some dude going to come in and I'm going to find him like jerking off in the pine candle or, you know, I don't,
like I said,
I tried to think of the Yankee candle scent. I'll be honest. If this is Yankee Candles, which I don't know if it is, I've never been a fan of their candles. Why is that? I don't know.
I don't, I've never been like, aside from, I do love a Diptyque candle, but they're far too expensive for me to have around regularly.
Oh, those are nice, yeah.
I love a Diptyque candle, but I've never been like, I gotta get me a Yankee. But it takes all kinds. And
people love it.
You get that scent and it smells like home, or it smells like what you want your life to be. I think so oftentimes we choose a candle scent because we're like, this will fix it.
Yeah.
Then my house will smell like pumpkin spice, and then Thanksgiving will be perfect. And not always.
Balsam and cedar. Christmas Eve, home for the holidays, Christmas cookie.
Sir.
We're having a great fucking Christmas this year, and I'm horny as fuck.
You're going to be the jolliest bunch of bastards inside a Yankee candle. And you're like, sir, would you put the Christmas cookies down? And
he's
like,
oh, man.
I got a Yankee on my candle, baby. That's my goodness. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Well, I'm sad for you that your store got closed, Anon, because I know that feeling. It sounds kind of silly, but when you've worked at a place, they changed, they demolished the original Sea Dog ticket booth, and I almost can't walk by that area on Navy Pier anymore. I'm like,
there's so many memories tied to it.
Yeah, really. It's like sacred ground, even if it's something silly, you know, like it's a job or whatever, but it's like the people, like she said, the people really make the difference. But let us know if your friend at the new store ever solves this. I would be fascinated to know.
Yeah. Or if you've ever been accosted by the paper pervert, let us know. Yeah, if he's like calling up Bath and Body Works, maybe he just likes retail coupons is his thing, and he wants to rip up.
He's calling the Arby's too.
You got to go to Bed Bath and Beyond because those bitches send them out daily.
They're everywhere.
You could have a whole field day with those, sir.
You can rip whatever you want. Yeah, and to anyone else listening, if you have a wild retail story like this, please send them in. I love this. This is so fascinating to me. The strange
one
behavior.
Time we had someone write in about somebody shitting in the changing room, the amount of ones we've gotten in where that has happened to other people. Everyone needs to get right with God, because if you are going into a Palm Beach tan room and taking a dump in the trash can in there, you don't deserve to be tanned or to even really leave your house. You can't do shit like that.
My gas are flabbered. They shat upon the trash at the Palm Beach tan.
Apparently it happens quite a bit.
I will say, would rather have a customer shit in the trash can than on the tanning bed. I'm just saying. Because that one of them is way worse than the other.
My theory on this is because if you've ever done tanning beds, which there was a time where I was like, I'm going to get tan. And I spent so much money on a subscription to a place. I did not get tan and I damaged my skin. So don't do it. It's not good for you.
PSA.
But when the timer starts on the bed, you're on the countdown and you only got like 15, 20 minutes. So if you're halfway in
something's coming halfway out,
then you got to make a decision. My decision is I cut my tanning time short.
Yes.
I put my clothes on. I go to the bathroom like a civilized human being. But other people are like, I paid for this and I will be goddamned. And then I'm like, what? You didn't take it with you. Do you think the person that came in after you doesn't remember that, like, oh, Christy was just here tanning, so she must be the one who did this?
They know your name.
You can't show your face there again.
No, they know what booth you went in. That's my thing. Is like, just go out and then say, oh, I actually had to cut my time short. Would you be cool and add it on? I just had to run to the bathroom. And if not, I'll just have to pay for it, or I just won't be that tan this week. Yeah. What are you doing in your life that you're like, I have to be fucking tan now. I got to go now. The flight is leaving. I'm going to shit in this trash can. Dude. Like, what life are you leaving? If you are living a life that you have to be tan that imminently, you have to invest in a tanning bed at home, because that is not a public thing.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Just be okay with your pale skin. Like, I finally came to terms with.
This is what I look like.
Yeah. This is what I look like. I can't change it. You know what I can change? Not taking a dump in a public trash can. I will never do. I say that. I will never do it. If I have another option.
Exactly.
Okay.
If I could choose not to, will I have to someday? Never say never, maybe. Justin Bieber wrote that whole album, Never Say Never.
Oh, man. Well.
God damn.
Yeah. So let us know if you, if your friend has heard from this dude anymore. And I'm sure the voice I gave him did not do it justice.
It was so good. Are you kidding me? I was fucking
like
riveted.
A man sounding like a child. Two things I'm not, so that's a challenge.
We workshopped it before it went to air.
We had to workshop
it. But I thought it was spot on. I was unsettled and unnerved, especially when she said with this lilting voice. I was like, you nailed it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Sorry. Hopefully, Anon, that didn't trigger you with my perfect rendition of his voice.
Well, hey, let me see your phone. Have you been calling a Yankee Candle store? Wait a minute.
No, I'm a Tyler Candle girl, okay? Tyler Candles are great, by the way.
Oh. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, this next one is from Marin, and the subject line is Indeed Scam. Love you ladies so much. I'm a little behind on episodes, but was listening to Freaky Friday episode 100, and the scammer story reminded me of my own brush with a scammer. I grew up with a dad that always taught us about scams. When I got my very first email, he always told me never click links in an email. Even now, he sends all his grown kids forwarded emails from banks and other companies about scams. All this to say, I naively thought I was basically immune to any scam, as I knew the signs and I knew never to give out personal information. About 18 months into being a stay-at-home mom, I was going a little crazy and realized I needed to be working at least a little. My degree is in graphic design, so I looked on Indeed and other reputable sites for a part-time job that I could do from home. Eventually, I heard back from one company via Indeed that they wanted to hire me for a specific project. I was desperate for a job, and the project seemed like something I would enjoy. The only personal information I gave out was my email, phone number, and address, and we were about to move anyway. While I started coming up with concepts for the project, my contact let me know that his client wanted to extend the project, basically doubling the work and my pay. This seemed odd, but then I got a check in the mail for the entire amount. It was large enough that I had to go to the bank to deposit it, and the next day, the money was in my account. Later that same day, my contact informed me that the client only wanted to proceed with the original project for now, and that I needed to return half the money I had just deposited. That's when I realized something was definitely up. I called my dad for a sanity check, and when I showed him the emails, he confirmed this was a scam. I was devastated and confused. The check had seemingly cleared. This is where I once again was naive. When you deposit a check, the bank puts their own money into your account, so you have access to it while the check clears. I don't know if I was just dumb or if other people don't know this either, but I feel this is super important to know. My contact kept texting me, asking me when I was going to wire him his money back, getting increasingly aggressive. I blocked his number, and sure enough, the very next day, the money was removed from my account due to a bad check. If I had sent him that money, the money from the check would still have been removed, and I would have been out thousands of dollars. I'm very grateful I didn't completely fall for that scam. It was more money than I even had to my name. Looking back on the emails and texts with him that happened over the course of a few days, I was able to see how fishy it looked. But in the moment, it seemed fine. It just goes to show that no matter how prepared you feel, you always need to be watching out for scams, even on a website like Indeed, apparently. I feel like there's a special place in hell for scammers. Maren.
Indeed is a job employment type site, mm-hmm. if you're not familiar. And I guess it's also a place where people take advantage of those looking for work. This is terrible.
Right. Yeah, this stuff is awful. And I think because checks are less used, I think they're less understood. And I just, in the last few months, saw people, young people on TikTok saying, oh, this new hack is to get unlimited money in your account. You open an account at one bank, you get checks from that bank, and then you go to another bank, write checks to the second bank account, go to the ATM, take the money out, and you get unlimited free money. And I told my mom this, who worked at a credit union for a long time and has a financial background, and she went, that is called a check floating scrub fraud, and that is a scam that's been going on forever. Like, that's quite literally fraud. But yeah. And then these young people were going on there going, all you have to do is do this. You can get $10,000. It's unlimited.
Illegally.
Well, then like weeks later, they're like, I got arrested. Chase found out it was me. And people in the comments were like, yeah, you got to give like your birthday and your name.
Yeah. Like, also, you're making a TikTok about it. Of course they're going to find out.
But they were like making it rain, like getting money from the ATMs going like, it's the free unlimited money hack. And I'm like, oh no, I can never understand if someone, they think they found something out and just didn't Google it, or if someone tricked them like a mean prank. But it's very similar to this, where you think, oh, well, I got this check and the money's already in my account, and now they're just wanting me to do a quick wire, but not knowing that it's not really real money. Like, the bank's just like being cool for a few days.
It's like when you deposit your paycheck and then it, you know, maybe they give you a portion of it as good faith, but it's held until a couple days when it can clear. And these scammers know all that and they know what they're doing. Good on your dad.
You know,
it paid off. You're like, another email about a scam, but he was the first one to call to tell you, this isn't legit. Well, I'm sorry, so glad you didn't send this scammer money and you figured it out before then, because that would have been
just heartbreaking. It's such just like
devastating.
You feel so embarrassed and shamed, but angry and sad. Mm-hmm. There is a special place in hell for those people.
Yeah, for sure. So that feeling of like, that's probably legit, but I don't know. That's always the thing to trust. Cause I think a real company or a real client would take, if you're like, oh, let me wait till the check clears and then I'm happy to wire you this money. If they're an asshole about it, it's probably a scammer. And that's I saw people posting on like Reddit and stuff trying to buy Taylor Swift tickets and stuff. And like, well, this person's telling me like, you need to send the money right now, like immediately. And like a lot of times scammers use like, it's the same when they call you and go like, your son has been drunk driving and needs you to send him $5,000 now, or he's going to go to jail right now. And you're never going to talk. Like, that's not how it works. That's not how cops work. That's not how jobs work. That's not how legitimate ticket sales work. So I think an increase of speed and aggression is usually a pretty good sign of a scam.
Yeah. Yeah, they prey on that like frantic now nature. But they're doing that because they know eventually you're going to figure it out. So they want it to happen very quick. And it also puts you into a frenzy. Like if somebody's rushing me, my blood pressure immediately spikes and I might not be thinking this clearly.
No, certainly. And you think, oh, well, I have to do whatever it takes to do blank that's important to me. Mm-hmm. Get a job, get these tickets, get my kid out of jail. Not thinking, okay, well, maybe the end result's actually not real anyway. Mm-hmm. And they're just taking you for a ride along the way. But good on your dad for being so vocal. We should all be as thoughtful as Marin's dad in spreading the word, because I think we'll hear about, you might be reading an article on NPR and go, oh, that's a crazy scam. But that's something to bring up at a dinner, at coffee, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas. Just something that not everybody gets their news from the same place. So being aware of stuff like this is it always safety in numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, this next one is from Justin, and the subject line is Bridgewater Triangle Experience. Hi, y'all. I just finished listening to your excellent Bridgewater Triangle episode, and I wanted to share a bizarre encounter I had in the area. I was in senior year of high school and was driving around aimlessly with my girlfriend, my two buddies, and their girlfriends. It was around midnight when someone suggested that we head to Profile Rock in the Freetown Forest. Upon arriving, we parked in the small dirt parking lot next to the main trail system leading into the forest. When we all got out of the car, we immediately heard rhythmic drumming coming from deeper in the forest. The drumming was slow and ominous, almost ceremonial, and sounded like some sort of tribal drum. Next, we noticed lights in the forest. The lights were flame-like, small and round, similar to the flame that would sit atop of a tiki torch. There appeared to be a few dozen of these lights in different areas within the forest from what we could see. The girls were scared to death and immediately jumped back into the car. They wanted to get the hell out of there as fast as possible. However, curiosity got the better of my buddies and I, so we hiked into the woods to try and locate the source of the lights and drums. Mind you, it was pitch black, and we only had crappy cell phone lights to try and find our way. This was almost 20 years ago, so pre-flashlights on phone era. This is when things get even weirder. The lights did not appear to be on the main trail, but off the path amongst the trees and brush. The closer we got to the lights, the further away they seemed to be. It was bizarre. A light would appear to be about 15 yards away. You would walk roughly 15 yards towards it, but once you got there, you would be no closer to the actual light. I want to point out here that I'm familiar with fireflies, and these were definitely not that. After a while of chasing these lights and getting nowhere, mixed with the strange drumming that remained constant throughout the experience, we got pretty freaked out and ran back to the car and took off. Plus, our girlfriends were royally pissed off that we had left them. We never did find the source of the lights or the drums. It was only years later that I learned of the reports of ghost lights and ritualistic drumming in the triangle. I'm pretty skeptical of most ghost stories that I hear, but this was real, and six of us saw/heard it. P.S. We were dead sober.
Well, well, well. Mm-mm-mm. I would love to know if those girlfriends were still your girlfriends after that night.
You're like, we got back to the car and my now ex-girlfriend told me to drive her home.
Right.
Because you fucking left me.
Oh,
we're like,
dude,
we're just going to go check it out. That is, they taught us that Randy and Scream, isn't that his name? When he's like, don't ever say I'll be right back.
Yeah.
In a scary
yeah.
situation.
Yeah. No,
don't
no,
do
no.
it.
Especially in a forest at night. I mean,
yes.
No drums, no lights. That's dicey to walk into. But then you add, what's who or what is causing this? and I'm going to go find him. What are you going to do when you find him?
Oh, the high school senior mentality of like, we got this.
I probably would have done the same thing, honestly. I would have gone looking for it too.
100% my friends and I would have done this. There was like a haunted road in our town, and we're like, let's go drive on Holloman Road and find the devil worshiper. So
we would do that too.
I joke, but at that point, we did not have like drumming sounds or lights. It was just an empty old dark road. So it's one thing to even just traipse off into an empty dark forest, but to be like, I don't know, I think there's people in there. Let's go find them. Like, they're trying to have a ceremony. Leave them
alone. Right? I know. I'm thinking when I see lights in a forest, like flames.
Yeah.
A company that my first thought is nothing good. I'll tell you that. Some images come to my head that I don't like. And then the drumming, yeah, something's going on. I'm like, I'm going to stumble into a clearing of this forest where some shit's going on this is probably the last thing I see.
No, somebody's finna get sacrificed, and it's not about to be me. So I'm going to go back to the car. So your girlfriends were right. They did the right thing. But you know what? If you're out to do it for the story, you nailed it, because you got a great story out of it. Because you are not alone. Book after book after book, or that Bridgewater Triangle documentary that we referenced in the episode. There's so many repeated reports of these like ghost lights, things flying, moving, and exactly what you said, where you get close to it and it keeps on moving, it keeps on moving back. So now that we've both been looking into some more alien UAP stuff or whatever, orbs are commonly reported as parts of UAP. So I'm always like, what's the like overlap? Is it just a coincidence that we have ghost lights and then UAP orbs, or is it something happening? I don't know, both places.
I don't know. I was watching Simon on the baby monitor in the other night and saw what I thought was an orb in the bed with him. And I just took a screenshot and sent it to Tommy. I was like, does he have a toy with a light on in there with him? Because he put him to bed. Or is this an orb? And Tommy was like, I guess it's an orb, because he didn't have any toys in there. So we very quickly came to the conclusion that an orb was in there. I still didn't go in, though. I checked a few minutes later, and it was gone. So it seemed to have left.
It was a friendly orb, just checking things out. Now, if Simon comes and goes, those drums were keeping me up all night, that's when you need to worry about it.
No,
you're fine
please.
For now.
Oh,
man. Well, thank you for sharing that. I love firsthand accounts of places we cover. So thanks, Justin.
Yeah, and we got to go check this place out.
I know. I'm going to go traipsing through the woods. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, this last one is from Kaylin, and the subject line couldn't be more my shit. Lake Superior giant squid conspiracy.
I thought you'd like this one.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Kaylin, longtime listener, first time writer. I love your episodes and the care with which you cover these difficult topics. I look forward to every Wednesday and Friday when I can enjoy new content as I go about my daily routines. Anyway, let's get into the story. This isn't a typical true crime or paranormal story, but it is what my family and I believe to be a conspiracy. Let's rewind about 8 years. My family and I took a trip from our small town about an hour southwest of Minneapolis up to the lovely city of Duluth, Minnesota. Duluth is a city right on the shores of the largest freshwater lake in the world, Lake Superior. There are many, many spooky stories that have occurred on this lake, and I would encourage you to look into or cover the sinking of the hauntings of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's a tragic and well-known story in this corner of the world. Anyway, back to my story. My family came up to Duluth for a weekend of summer fun when I was in high school. I distinctly remember my family discussing the recent discovery of giant freshwater squid in Lake Superior. We planned to go swimming in the lake at Park Point, a beautiful white sand beach on the shores of the lake, despite the average temperature of the lake being a cool 44 degrees Fahrenheit. I have clear memories of myself and my six sisters Googling the Lake Superior giant squid and getting freaked out at the idea of swimming in the lake. Despite that, we all swam and enjoyed our vacation. Fast forward about 2 years. I'm in college and have met my current partner of about 5 years at the time of me writing this. I tell him, within the first year of us dating, about the giant squid of Lake Superior. He also confirms, in disbelief, that he looked it up and found online articles confirming the existence of a giant squid in Lake Superior. Fast forward another couple years. We now live in Duluth, Minnesota. I moved up here for graduate school and he came with, having found a good work opportunity. After about a year of living here, my partner's parents decided to make a visit. I decided that this would be a good time to tell them about the spooky existence of the freshwater squid of Lake Superior. I told them the story, and they decided to look it up. And they found nothing. I Googled it myself, and there were no articles, no videos, no other online evidence supporting the existence of a freshwater squid existing in Lake Superior. I distinctly recall the embarrassment of having my partner's parents laugh at me for insisting that this freshwater squid existed in the spooky, scary depths of Lake Superior. Since this happened, I've Googled freshwater squid in Lake Superior multiple times with no hits. My partner recalls seeing articles confirming its existence back when I told him about it in college, and at least three of my sisters and my mother confirm that they also recall seeing online articles about the freshwater giant squid in Lake Superior years ago, before we came to Duluth for that lovely summer getaway. My most sane and non-conspiracy-minded explanation is that the articles we saw were written by The Onion or another satire source and removed for being misinformation. That said, I don't think that's the case. My sisters, mom, partner, and myself remember seeing articles about this squid, and now there is nothing to support its existence. Our current theory is that this is a Mandela effect, or that the government removed all information about the Lake Superior freshwater squid for reasons unknown to us. Was it a scientific discovery that the world wasn't ready to know about? Or was it an alien species living within the frigid waters of the world's largest lake that the government had to cover up before we all started to connect the dots about aliens being present on our planet? The world may never know. However, I would be curious to know if anyone else recalls seeing information about this freshwater squid swimming about the waters of Lake Superior. I appreciate you taking the time to read this, and if this gets read on the air, I invite you to share my email contact with anyone who also recalls the existence of the Lake Superior giant squid, as I could use a friend in the area and or confirmation that myself and my friends aren't losing our minds. Thanks for your fantastic content, Kaylin.
Oh, Kaylin. Well, first of all, if anyone knows about this and needs to reach out to Kaylin, email us and yes, I will give you her email address, sinisterhoodpodcast@gmail.com, just so Kaylin doesn't receive 1,000 emails unrelated. We're
yes,
keep that.
Do you have any coupons I can rip? You're like, wait a minute.
Oh, well, I just Googled giant squid Lake Superior. The AI overview, while there is no scientific evidence to support the existence of giant squid in Lake Superior, there are folklore and local legends about a, quote, Lake Superior monster, often described as a large, mysterious creature inhabiting the lake, sometimes with characteristics similar to a giant squid. However, this is considered a myth and not based on real sightings of giant squid in the Great Lakes.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But well, I believe you that you saw these and that your family did too. And how weird that your boyfriend, independently of you telling him this information, which also I love that, like, you're like, okay, we've been together for about a year. I think it's time. I tell him about the Lake Superior squid. And you got to also brace the parents, the future in-laws, when they come so they know what they're getting into also.
Right? I mean, it's the real fact of the matter is these web pages that you've seen could be taken down. We learned when we were researching the Dead Internet episode that 40% of web pages that were available in 2013 and before are just gone from the internet, that the Internet Archive is not a big enough server to like hang on to things. And so while there could have been many such websites that described people's firsthand accounts, if the server space doesn't keep getting paid for, it just won't even, it doesn't even get, a copy doesn't even get kept on the Internet Archive. So that's the hard thing about finding online resources and then linking them. You often go back and it's like 404 error. So even if you had a link to these articles that you've seen, it could be very well that you go to click it. You know, newspapers get bought by other newspapers. They don't maintain archives. So it's definitely a difficult thing nowadays and causes me for the show. There's certain stuff that if I'm like, I'm going to be asked to prove this later, I will download and save a hard copy to my hard drive because websites straight up will just disappear. Mm-hmm. They just go away.
Well, I just clicked on some images that came up from my Google search. And the first one, which I gasped at because I don't know if this is real or not. I'm pretty sure it's not. But you click on it and it takes you to a post on X from
legitimate
at Canadian Water. Giant squid discovered in Lake Ontario, which we were just by the way.
Right? Different lake, but this. Similar. Yeah.
Can you see it? Look at I that can. Fucking size of that fucking squid.
When was it posted? And also, was in,
it's got to be fake. They, people think it was an April Fool's joke because it was on April Fool's. But, you know, there's nothing from the poster saying it's a joke or anything. For someone that is not familiar with things and just glanced at this, you could easily think it was a real thing. Now I'm on X. Get off. God, please. Mm-mm. I never want to come to this site.
Gum up your phone.
I did find some actual pictures of giant squid, and God have mercy.
Yeah, once we got to looking at them too much in the Kraken episode, I was like, I can't stare into this thing. It stares back at you. And if they were in any of the Great Lakes, I imagine they'd be in the largest one. So I haven't been to Lake Superior yet. We got to get up there. We got to get to Minnesota on this next tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute.
Simon is obsessed with colossal squids and asks Tommy and I multiple times a day if we've ever seen one. And we always got to tell him, nope, buddy, I'm sorry.
Not yet.
Sure have it.
Not sure many people have it.
Be like, Mommy, have you ever seen a colossal squid? And I'm like, no, most people haven't. You know, they wash up on shore, but they live really, really deep down there. And then I was asking him about animals in the sea, and he was naming them. I go, and the Kraken? He goes, no, the Kraken's not real. And I was like, I don't know, buddy.
Wow, kid.
I don't know. Wow.
What are you teaching that child at your house?
He read, and by read, I mean he's memorized probably 50 cryptids that are in a book. That one
that's
you
right.
gave us.
That's right.
And last night, he flipped through each page and told me who it was and the geographic region where they're from.
I was
very proud.
Oh, he can recognize them.
Oh, well, many that I've never even heard of.
Well, we've got to have him do some research for us on the Lake Superior giant squid. It could, I think, depending on the size, I think they could live there because I think Lake Superior's maximum depth is about 1,300 feet. And I think squid can live like 900 to 3,000 feet. So it could survive.
It could.
What's going on down there?
But usually they're salt water. So this
Correct.
Is a freshwater yes. squid.
This is going to be a new species that's been discovered. Mm. So if y'all are listening and you have not only heard of this, but if you could provide some archival internet websites, that would really help Kaylin out.
Right? God, I'm down a rabbit hole of giant squids that have washed up on shore. It's just a stark reminder of, we don't know what's out there.
No, or down there. Yes, but the big-ass Great Lakes, there's all kinds of shit in Lake Michigan. Crash planes, crash boats. Sounds like this one's got crash boats in it, too. So we could probably do an episode each on each of the Great Lakes and all the shit that's down in them and that's happened in them. They're so beautiful, though. I love... Mm-hmm. The lady loves the lake, and it's me. I'm the lady who loves the lake.
I love the lake, too. Lady of the lake, yeah. We're Lake Ontario, while it was drizzly, it was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Real big.
So big. Lovely.
Big.
They are great, great indeed. I got to run right around it to Trillium Park. It was lovely. I love Toronto. But if you've heard of a giant squid in Lake Superior, please write in so we can connect you with Kaylin and you all can start a support group.
Yeah.
And you know you're not alone.
No, please. Please do. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin, for sending that in. And thank you to everybody else for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or join at a tier and get over 900 hours of segments like Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, Dear Sinister, Am I the Asshole? So many.
Yeah, when you join, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, the weekly bonus content Christie just mentioned, monthly mini-sodes. We've got a new one of those coming out for you, and it's finger licking good. We've got merch discounts for some tiers and a community of the best listeners on the whole ass internet.
Yeah. And just for joining for free, you get an archived bonus content sent to you once a month just as a thank you. And we do things for all members, including free, a couple times a year, like Cocaine Werewolf.
Hell yeah.
You can go watch that. And what I'm going to say is just going to sweep at the Oscars this this next year.
Yeah, no other film has a chance, not with Cocaine Werewolf tearing its way through. Head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to get all your holiday shopping done. You can get Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, clothes for your kiddos. You can combine some merch with a Patreon subscription, get somebody an annual subscription, the gift that keeps on giving. And you can get discounts if you are a Patreon member. Make sure to check the pin post to get that discount code.
Absolutely. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes on YouTube. They're ad-free on Patreon. And watch clips of the show on TikTok. You can also order custom video shout-outs on Cameo from us to you. And today is the day to do it. And if you're hearing this, we have a Black Friday deal going on Friday, November 9th at 8 a.m. Central. So it's going on now and it ends Saturday, November 30th at 11:59 p.m. Central time. We are giving 30 lucky fans the best Black Friday deal. It's a Cameo from us for $20. So it's limited quantities. Yeah, it's quite a deal.
They're normally 50. So this is
a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a big deal. So this is our Black Friday Cameo sale. So only $20, but it's limited to the first, they limited on Cameo. It's only going to be the first 30 folks. So you got to get in before it's too late. And so if you get on there and it's not $20, it's because you missed the deal. But regardless, I think it's a great value. And it's the gift that you get the Sinisterhood fan in your life that you know they don't have. Because everyone is different. Even if two people got the same person a Cameo, we do them different every time. Yeah. So make your request personal and you will get an absolute custom video from us.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of holiday stuff.
Oh,
we got
so
a lot of antlers and hats that we used last year. Happy to bust those out again, too.
Absolutely. Christy, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.